All right. So, hey, guys, this isn't Tracy. This is actually her best friend, Girdley. And because me and that crazy girl have been through like 10 years of adventures, I thought I'd hit y'all with a disclaimer of sorts. First and lastly, do know that whatever the hell Tracy shares in this podcast comes from her very own treasure chest of magic, logic, and good intentions. She's definitely not a therapist alternative, but she does believe it's inhumane to withhold what feels like gangsta insight. My girl's not for everyone, but she just might be for you.
She's beauty and the beast. Hey babes, tis I, Tracy G here. You know what? First and foremost, I want to remind you that your existence has a purpose that extends way beyond just wandering through the bare basics of life. I don't know. I just felt like I need to get that off my 34C chest. And you know what? I do not care if you have absolutely sub-zero idea of why the hell you are here. I still stand by my firm belief that you are invaluable, boo. So if you have yet to find your pot of gold called a passion or a skill or a gift, et cetera, I remind you that much of the time, gold is buried, my friends. So let's just all find the fun and getting dirty. I smell the sweet aroma of a segue, yo. Let's do it. So speaking of getting dirty, here we are at No Sex Zone Part 2. Why is there a Part 2? Because, quite frankly, my legs are open again. And I feel so wonderful about that. Not really because the craving for my man's meat and potatoes was just out of control, but because I feel cleansed, secure, more deeply aware of my intuition. Plus, yes, of course, being with a beautiful soul of a partner absolutely intensifies the whole situation. Know what I mean? And yet, I am not married. Mm-mm. Which is commonly when the celibacy chapter is supposed to end, right? Such is the case in more conservative settings, I should say. And you couldn't push me to ever criticize someone who genuinely felt it best to wait till that white dress drops to the hotel floor. But conservative has just never been a go-to descriptor of mine. And I know many of you guys feel the same. So that's why I had to grab up my bestest Girdley once more to talk about the intricacies of post-celibacy life, minus the husband. And per usual, it's very raw, vulnerable, but oh, so needed. And when you're done listening, I have a freemium guide I created for y'all that I am so damn proud of. It's a celibacy contract of sorts called No Sex Zone, the dope woman's GPS for navigating celibacy. You can get it at shesbeautyandthebeast.com/celibacycontract. I also mention it in the convo, blah, blah, blah. Let's just get into the convo. I love you. Here we go.
I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way.
You're recording? Okay, great. You have that part.
That part. Wow. Shout out to freaking Gaga's stomach, man. Stole the show for all the right reasons.
Killed it.
And all the freaking body shamers out there.
Sit your ass down, losers.
Your grave is deep, brothers.
She did everything that could be done. She flipped. She was carried. She hugged. She ran. She danced in heels. She hopped on a piano. She flew into the somersault in the air.
And like, most importantly, she represented the average woman. You know what I'm saying? Not even represented, celebrated the average woman. Like, let's give it a higher notch. And people just, they want the impossible waistlines, man. And it's crazy because, unfortunately, for the most part, and hey, you know what? Let me recognize the baby steps, because women are definitely seen through a different lens in 2017 than, let's say, 2007 or 1997. But still, we're looked at for aesthetics first, word second. Stomach first, idea second, waistline first, talent second. Shit ain't right, man. You're doing your math all wrong. Come on, reprioritize things. Anyways, Bergolini.
Tracellini.
A.K.A. Girdly.
That is I.
A.K.A. my sharpest of all shooters.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
A.K.A. my celibacy coach. Okay, Girdly. So, quick recap. Because the last time that we were sitting here in front of these microphones is when we did No Sex Zone Part 1. And we talked about the big why behind our choosing to be celibate for our time periods. Our personal definitions of celibacy. Mm-hmm. We asked ourselves, must one give up the sweet delights of cunnilingus and fellatio to be a certified celibacy caretaker, I guess, however the fuck we want to call it. We talked about what's good with deadlines, what's good with explaining this shit to our boyfriends, the soul feeding benefits, the pussy killing challenges. We had our freaking events, all of it. Oh, and by the way, so for whoever's ears are catching all of that we're talking about right now, if you are in fact interested in celibacy, which me and Girdly co-sign very strongly, mm-hmm. I have something for you. I got two things. Well, one, take note and go back to episode 3 of No Sex Zone if you haven't heard that yet, because that's the part 1. And that is very, very thorough. And everything that I just said, like, what, 65 seconds ago, we go into full detail with. And also, go to shesbeautyandthebeast.com/celibacy. And you know what's going to be waiting for you there? A pot of gold in the form of a celibacy contract that I created to help you guys customize your new bedroom diet, so to say, to help you optimize it, and most importantly, to help keep you accountable and very, very close to your why. Because along your journey, there will be, I don't want to say many, but there's going to be temptation, mm-hmm. you know, seconds, minutes, hours, maybe a couple days, depending on your DNA and all of that. But the point of this podcast with the part 2 is because me and Girdly, we didn't necessarily see celibacy as, all right, let's take it all the way to marriage. Going back to me saying how you can have a customized, a, you know, made for you type of celibacy means that you can give it its own expiration date. And that doesn't necessarily have to be when you have a veil over your eyes. And for myself, I was a bit conflicted when I had first, and by the way, I was celibate for, I don't even know, y'all, because I was embracing it as a lifestyle. I want to say a year and some change, something like that. Maybe let's just give it a year and a half so I sound real professional with this mm-hmm. shit. Year and a half. I'm just going to own that, okay? And I had many a conversation with God on if I felt it necessary in my bones and my spirit in my vagina to keep it until marriage, or if I wanted to unravel all of that for the right person who I was willing to commit to and I knew was willing to commit to me in both spirit and flesh. Girdly, what was yours? You said you were just going to do 365 days, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just kind of like as a cleanse. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think to yourself, maybe I want to extend it or shorten it?
Yeah, actually, like once I finished the year and I had such a good year and it reaped so many like benefits for me, I really wanted to do the next year celibate too. Like I really wanted to take it into 2016, but
things happen.
I already told him who I was dating. And by that point, we were already like 5 months in. Mm-hmm. I already told him that it was a year mm-hmm. thing for me. And that I would be done.
Right. So you set his year. Right. You set his expectations
yeah,
already.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So.
Yeah.
But I could go again. After you complete a year, doing it again is not a problem. And if I am in a position where I'm single in the future, uh-huh. depending on what God has in store for me, I will do it again. And it would not come with as much hesitation as it did before.
Word up.
It's nothing now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. It's so interesting to see how your power does not escape you when you close your legs for a little bit longer.
No, it actually builds up, mm-hmm. you know.
Your womanhood just shines even brighter than it once did before because you see yourself beyond a sexual being. You see yourself outside of the male gaze or, you know, the female gaze too, depending on what your orientation is. But you know what? I wanted to complete a thought because I realized I kind of left it in the middle. So it's important for me to have this conversation because I realize there are no conversations about post-celibacy life. Mm-hmm. Because majority of the time, the narrative is you're taking it till you jump the broom.
Right.
But for many of us, or at least at minimum, for me and Girdley, it's not necessarily the case. And it can be an emotional shift and a lot of questioning and feeling almost like a rebirth, mm-hmm. in a sense. And so I wanted to just, I guess, for anyone who's about to enter a celibacy chapter, give you an idea of what it could look like when you decide to flip the final page and go back to humping. Yeah. So for you, Girly, and I'm definitely going to share as well. And I love you because you be so transparent with me.
Oh, gosh.
Along with all the hundreds of people who listen that are not in front of us. So it makes me feel more comfortable. But anyways. But as far as you're willing to go, what was it like the night that you lost your virginity for a second time, in a sense?
It was a magical night. It was a magical night. And that is the fun thing about being celibate and then breaking that celibacy, because you can treat it like you're losing your virginity, but this time you're going to do it right. And you're going to do it smarter. And I made a whole event out of it. It was like the most celebrated day we ever had. Like
rose petals on the floor. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like Hallmark style?
Girl, like, rented a spot and bought an outfit.
Oh, yes. I remember now.
And did the whole nine. Like, we got this awesome. We went to the M Citizens Hotel, which you put me on to. And I got this sweet little number from Nasty Gal. Highly recommend. And I got a vajazzle.
I think I was looking at, like, different lingerie sets for you.
Oh yeah, you were. You helped me.
I was heavily invested.
Yes, you were, and you were. Thank you so much for that, because that piece still goes hard. Woo, what a piece!
I'm happy to hear that, and I know a conversation we were having leading up to the day. We were making sure that if it didn't feel right, if it felt like too much pressure, if it felt like, okay, I'm too attached. Yeah. To this date,
yeah.
Then you weren't going to go through with it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. It's really not about the date. It's about where you are. But also remember that you are dealing with another person's expectations and their hormones and their, you know, their emotions. And they're invested in this moment just as much as you are, especially if they waited for you. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sensitive to that as well. So trust me, my nature is to always push things back if things aren't perfect. I'm like a crazy lady like that. Like, no.
Very artist like,
you know, very ridiculous, but I couldn't.
Yeah. Because
my dude's sitting over there, like, let's go. So we whipped it up, you know, got a few things together just to make it special for my own self, you know. Yeah. He was down for whatever. Could have been anywhere, he would have been fine, but it was nice to just make it special, and it was awesome. Yeah.
So no nerves, any build up like that?
Actually, I was nervous because I heard from a friend beforehand when I told her that I was doing my whole celibacy thing. And naturally, people just assume that I'm a very, very, very sexual person.
Yeah, same here.
And I guess.
Why do you think that is? Like, what is it about, like, our energy, Girdley?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I know the way that I dance is probably.
Yeah.
And I guess because you're so free about conversation. I don't know. I think that they just assume that this.
Is it the big hair too?
I don't know what it is, but people be like, girl, let me tell you about this sex I had. And I'm like, what makes you think I'm interested in that? Right. I'll entertain it, but for you to think that you had to save this story for me.
Right, specifically.
Is wild. But yeah, she told me, and she was shocked that I was being celibate. She goes, well, you know, I heard that, you know, most women who end up breaking their celibacy, they lose their, you know, their sex drive. It goes down. And I was really nervous about that because I really wasn't as horny as I used to be.
Yeah.
And I was nervous. I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, am I going to have to work to get back my mojo?
Right.
You know, and I kind of did have to be honest with you.
Huh. What was that process like? What does that look like? Did you reintroduce porn into your life? So let me tell you this.
No.
Longer than celibacy, I think it might be
It might be 3 years since me and Pornhub.com have broken up.
Yeah, I just don't need it anymore. It actually does feel dirty now. Before it did it, you know? It only felt dirty afterward, but now, even in the beginning, I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't
need it anymore.
So you utilize your imagination more to up your mojo? What is it?
It's more of my imagination, and foreplay is taken very, 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 very seriously.
Girl!
If there is no foreplay, there is no play.
Son, you could have added like 100 more R's to very.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, in the words of the great little Kim.
Say it! Salute her! Say it!
You ain't licking this. You ain't sticking this.
Come on.
And I got witnesses.
Right. And I think for me, and that's so funny, girly, because you already know our lives just parallel each other very naturally. So I'm interested in knowing if my reasoning is the same reasoning for you. And I think I just, for the most part, want to be shrouded in intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That is very important because how much the celibacy was able to help me compartmentalize love and lust. I have to make sure when I am indulging more on the lust side of things, you know, getting my back blown out when things are happening in bed, you know, you can't really say you're making love if a man has his freaking palm around your neck. I'm just not sure if you can say this is making love. All right, if you want to argue with me, Twitter, hit me up.
Someone will.
I'm down for the debate. But so when you're very free and uninhibited and just, you know, in your human beastly side of sex, so to say, I know it's a wild image, I personally need to know the foundation of this is love.
Yeah.
You know, and not that I need this constant. It's not that. So here's the thing. It's not that I ever question it, but I love a sweet reminder.
I feel like it's necessary for the female condition anyways, because like if you want the most out of a woman, she has to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a real good lovemaking session or even just a good fuck session, there has to be a level of comfort that she has there. And if that happens through foreplay, if that happens by knowing that she is loved by the other individual, whatever needs to happen. But you cannot expect a woman who has to literally spend her entire day protecting her body and the image of her body and the expression of her sexuality.
Come on.
She has to censor it strategically all day. You can't expect her just to unrobe it because in your mind it's sex time.
Moment of silence. So true.
Nah, man. There's a process.
Right.
You have to respect. She has to unrobe literally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And it is a process. You cannot expect. And any woman that just said every now and then, yeah, you do get these girls that are like right here, right now, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it happens. But I would say for the average woman, it is a process to get us to our peak of intimacy.
Absolutely.
You know, we need that.
Yeah. No, I'm totally here for that. Just to say my story. So I didn't have it planned, a date. However, I was... There was open dialogue between me and God because, and I think I mentioned this in the first podcast for No Sex Zone. It was the challenge for me was the deeper I was falling in love with my man, that made it harder for me because I wanted to fully express myself. I'm like, okay, we've mind fucked, we've spirit fucked in a sense, you know, and I wanted the full braid of it. And you need three pieces to braid something together. And it was just the physical form of it. And I felt like God was like, Tracy, not everyone has to learn a lesson at the same time. When you're in class, when you're in school, some people are a little bit ahead. Some people even skip the class.
Mm.
Some people get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about when do you receive the lesson?
Mm.
You know, and for me, it was, do you now finally see yourself as a spirit? Do you know what that feels like within yourself and when it's held in the palms of a respectable human? You know, like, are you
guzzling down lust in the same manner you were before, to the point where you're so drunk off of it, you do not know what love necessarily looks like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, all stuff like that. And I felt like I had gained it. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I'm allergic to lust now, or I just... And me and my boyfriend had these conversations. It's not this freaking magic wand that is tapped over your freaking shoulder and now you're just going to be solely attracted to your one partner. Like, you know, I am a human freaking female, so I'm gonna feel different things, but I feel like I'm much better with identifying the source mm-hmm. of those feelings and understanding the full picture, and how indulging in this moment doesn't necessarily bring me to any sense of purpose. It's not productive.
And it's so fleeting.
Yeah, it's so fleeting. It's so fleeting. So to wrap that all up, okay, so any of you who listen to me, you guys know that I tend to go on my many tangents and I like to build a quilt with my words. But to get to the point, I felt like God was like, it's on you. Mm-hmm. You have your lesson. Do you want to just continue learning because you're just a learnaholic? And that's cool, but I got many other lessons lined up for you, girl. Mm-hmm. So go for yours. And I did not have a conversation with my boyfriend on if I was ready, because I didn't want him to subconsciously, I don't want to use the word pressure, but seduce me mm-hmm. into, you know, jump straddling him.
Yeah, I would recommend that approach, because like I said there, when they know, mm-hmm. you know, you start being mindful of that. Now that becomes a factor.
Absolutely.
Which was the issue with sex to begin with, mm-hmm. is that another person's physicality is now a concern for you.
Right, because it's on pause.
Right, you know, and it's just a lot.
Right. And you don't want to feel like you're hijacking someone's pleasure.
Yeah, and you don't want to feel like you're playing with somebody's emotions.
Mm-hmm. All of that. Yeah, so my boyfriend was very surprised and like taken aback. I think he was sleeping, if I can recall. No movement was really happening in bed, but I told, and that's so funny because it's kind of similar to how I lost my original virginity. Would you look at that? You keep it, the continuity is there. Anyways, but I woke him up and I said that I was ready, and he asked me twice and we did the deed and I enjoyed it, and then I cried my eyes out.
Why'd you cry?
I don't know. I felt very almost infant-like. It was crazy, but it literally was as if I was 17 years old again.
Oh no. I was about to say, I cried like a baby during my first time, but the second time I lost my virginity.
It was like pop champagne.
What? Yeah, I mean, I'm broke at this point. Really?
Yeah. And then, so yeah, it was a mixture of that. It's just feeling very, 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 very vulnerable. Also tears of joy, and also like, did I make the right decision?
Yeah, that is the thing.
Because sometimes I felt like God was like, I'm gonna leave it up to you. Mm. And when I hear that, I don't know if it's a test, or I don't know if it's literally, girl, choose your own adventure. Both doors will give you blessings, you know? But after that, we prayed. And the next day I prayed as well. Well, he was also worried in the morning. Because he was like, you're crying, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. But we had, and he was, and I loved that he was concerned, and that just further confirmed to me that this was the right person.
Yeah.
This was definitely the right person. And I had post-celibacy conversations with God, and I felt like God was like, yo, it's lit.
I love that you said that, because I do think that that's important. Like, before anybody makes that decision to break that celibacy vow, or to even, and then even after the fact, to talk to their partner about it, but to talk to your creator about it first, and how important that was. Mm-hmm. And I remember before mine happened, I spoke to God about it a lot too. And it's so confusing because depending on where you stand on religion, there are a lot of different politics around sexuality and modesty and where a woman should stand depending on what's on her finger and what's not on her finger. And like, I just remember first thinking to myself, well, God, you brought me this man and you know you did. So, so let's not act brand new.
All right, let's get down to the accountability. You know?
So I remember that was the first part of the conversation that I had. And then secondly, I asked God, I thought to myself, okay, in the book, it says, when you get married, that's when you should be having sex. If, you know, if your celibacy reasons are religious or whatever based, you know, spiritually based, that could be a factor in your mind if that's where you stand, if that's where your faith falls. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, God, like when people get married, they take a vow before you. They take a vow to be committed to each other, to love one another, and to stand with each other through good and very crappy times. And God, if I can tell you that I promise to do that with this man, and if he promises to do that with me, can right before you, right now, if we're making this agreement, can we have sex?
Right.
And it made sense to me. And I did make that agreement with God. And before him and I were about to do it, literally, I'm at this point over his body. He's laying down. I'm on my knees. All I have to do is just take a seat. And right before I was about to, I like put my hand on his chin and I'm like, do you love me? Do you promise to protect me no matter what? Will you be there for me if I get big, if I break a leg, if I need you to take me to the bathroom? Word. Would you do that?
Wipe my ass.
You know? And he was like, Now, granted, I had him in the most compromised position.
I was about to say.
Ever. Ever. And, you know, I know God was looking at me like, girl, bye. But I had to at least make an attempt. Right. You know? And
verbal agreement.
Yeah, I mean, a little some.
So do you think that you're married?
I don't think that I am married because I'm not married. But
I asked that because in essence, you made the vows, like the vows that are present within the ceremony of marriage. It's just you weren't in a chapel. You were in a bedroom.
I know. On a lap. Quite the throne. I don't think that I'm married. No, I don't. But I do think that I am in a place a bit more serious than dating. And I do believe that my commitment to this man cannot be as shallow as it has been in past circumstances. If he gains weight, we're gonna have to work on it. I can't just be like, ew. No, I have to deal with it. If he gets sick, God forbid, if he roams, we're gonna deal with it before I say fuck this.
Ooh, girl, you grown. All caps grown. I hear you. Cheers to that. Yeah, I'm at the same place. Damn it, man. There are levels to adulting if y'all haven't realized it yet.
I'm taking a drink right now.
It's a never-ending ladder to this shit. So let me ask you this, Gardley. If he broke up with you over some fuck shit, would you feel like you had made a mistake in having sex with him?
Can you please explain the definition of fuck shit?
Okay, let me just throw out a scenario. He feels inadequate as a man and wants to go find himself.
Okay, so if he broke up with me for that reason, would I take him back later?
No. Would you feel like you shouldn't have given him this second go round of your virginity?
No, I would not have felt like that. Because in the time, presently, we can only live in the moment, guys. You can't be making decisions for the past and for the future. That will mess you up.
Right.
At that moment, in that time, that man was committed to me and loved me with everything that he had. And he showed it to me in multiple ways. So no matter what, there was no other man in my life more deserving of it than him at that time. The person that you're going to be tomorrow is not the person that you are today. And you never really know who you are because you are always evolving if you're living right. So no, whatever the future holds is what the future holds, you know. And that was part of my vow, to work with him regardless of whoever he becomes in the future. So, you know, even tomorrow, if he God forbid, cheats on me or needs to step out or needs to do this or needs to find that or needs to become that. It is what it is. You right. know? I'm not going to be like, fuck, I gave you the best pussy of my life. No. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time it was right. And right. that's what it needed to be.
Right. Absolutely. And I love some key things that you said about being committed to working it out with this person as they evolve. And we have to leave space for that evolution. Right. And it's interesting because me and my man, we have spoken about this and I've said how I'm committed to you in the present, which makes it seem like I'm giving myself a lot of wiggle room. But that's not necessarily the case because my goal is to be with you for an innumerable amount of days before us. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But can I guarantee 10 years from now, or can I make a promise that you will be the one braiding my hair when it's 98% gray? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do that, but I know that every day that I wake up, is a decision that has to be made. Mm-hmm. And right now, I foresee that my decisions will always be to choose you.
Right. Right.
And if I see myself looking at option B, part of my commitment to you is vocalizing that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is. You said something earlier that I want to shed more light on. I'm not sure if we said this on mic or what, or if not, but it was about possibly, is there a possibility that we would travel down the celibacy road again? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the circumstances would have to be?
I mean, if I just don't feel like anybody in my life is at this point in the game, now that I have graduated from the University of Celibacy-ness.
Straight A's, baby.
Straight A's, baby. On a roll. Summa uh-huh. cum laude. Hey. valedictorian. I really, unless we are in love,
yeah,
or unless you are the man that I'm going to marry, or unless I really, 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 really need to get it in. And I feel like I've graduated from that place in my life, mm-hmm. but I don't know. You don't know what the future holds. I hear that after 40 gets very horny. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
find the right bottle of tequila, girl, and anything can happen.
but right now, unless I have something super hardcore in my life, I would prefer to be celibate because being sexually active and single for Girdly Cages is effing confusing.
And Tracy Garrard.
Seriously, God bless all you Samanthas that can just walk around town, yeah, skipping with no panties on, and life is all good. But right. for me, I'm going home. I'm writing sad art. I'm listening to Amy Winehouse.
Right.
I am writing poems and ripping them up. I ain't got time.
And you're distracted.
I am distracted, and I'm emotionally entangled. Mm-hmm. And yes, it makes good art, but damn, it's bad for the spirit.
Ooh.
And I ain't got time for that right now because I'm actually happy.
Yeah, you do not need one in the same. It's funny because you see that with a lot of people when they reference Keisha Cole or Mary J. Blige, and right. they say, the best music comes like out of heartache, and you don't need to have these extreme experiences to create art.
No, you don't.
Because like part of being an artist is finding beauty in everyday circumstances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that just means that when you are entangled and if you are producing good art, that just means that you're paying more attention to how you feel, not because you want to, but because you have to, because you're the only one there to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good thing. That is the practice. That is the beauty in itself, the intimacy of yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for bad circumstances to be forced to deal with yourself.
Oof, right.
You don't need that. You can deal with yourself every day, and it doesn't have to be a punishment. It can be a treat.
Yes, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. Because there's a wide range of emotions that we are embedded with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, it can't just be, all right, when you're on the scale and it has to be when you're at a zero or when you're at a 100 in order to emote. Like, every freaking day you're feeling some way.
Right, right. And you know what, though? I think it's important to, and it's not always only about always feeling happy. Like, you have to just express how you feel wherever you are at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, just really quick side note. I just saw that James Baldwin documentary, I Am Not Your Negro.
Oh, how do you feel about
it? Goodness gracious. I was just up in there being like, church. It was so good. But there was one thing that I just want to touch on. And he was just like,
make sure that you are always sharing how you feel in public spaces, on public platforms, especially when how you feel is not happy. You have to be very transparent about the authenticity of your feelings, because what happened is that in the public world, we share so much of like the positive feelings that aren't controversial. And when you're alone, you feel like your personal feelings are wrong because they don't mirror what's happening in the public sphere. But what's happening in the public sphere is fake.
Yes.
You know, so that's why you feel like there's a disconnect. But it's not anything wrong with how you personally feel. It's the lack of exposure of personal feelings.
Absolutely, man. You know? And I think another thing to note with that, because I agree with everything that you said, but I think what's important is you are ready to share everything publicly when your self-esteem is not contingent upon the opinions of others.
Oh, Lord. And that is a daily renewal. That is a daily renewal. And God almighty, that's hard, because this whole society conditions you to give a fuck about what everybody else gives a fuck about. So like they say, you know, to be free is an act of rebellion. You know, to live for yourself and to just be true to yourself is an act of rebellion. So
I don't know if we're still going, well, I guess this all ties together. At least it feels that way for me. But so what do you think, girly, is the difference between honesty and oversharing?
So I was looking into Sufism recently, like I spoke to you about. And
give a little quick breakdown.
Sufism is a branch of Islamic faith, but it's not as like devout and as like I guess they wouldn't really call it a religion. Anybody who's Sufi, don't come for me. I'm just saying what I have gathered.
Right. She's in Sufi 101 right now.
101, okay? Don't come for me. I apologize. Please enlighten me. But from what I've gathered, it doesn't seem as like devout. It seems like it's recognizing the beauty of God in all areas, in art, in nature, in beauty, in philosophy. And anybody that's familiar with like the beautifully, passionately poetic words of Rumi, he was a very popular Sufi, and he writes these beautiful poems. But it's just the philosophy that God is everywhere and beauty is everywhere. When you sense a hint of beauty in life, that is just Sufism. That's what it's about. And they do a lot of faith. They practice a lot of their faith through dancing, which obviously I'm a dancer and a choreographer. And that's, so I'm drawn toward that.
Carly, why don't you just shout out your freaking site right now? Just do it. Come on.
So here we go. For anybody that's interested, I'm a dancer and a choreographer, and I also teach women empowerment workshops. And they sprinkle in, they come into many different genres of dance, from dance hall to sensual dance. But you can check out freethefemme.com, which is a sensual healing dance class that
spell
I teach.
Spell it out.
Free. F-R-E-E, the T-H-E, F-E-M, Fem, F-E-M.com. And you can also check out queenmoves24.com. And that is the umbrella dance company, which I host many dance workshops and performances. So check it out.
All right. And back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah.
So oversharing versus honesty.
Yeah. So anyways, I was looking through Sufism and I came across this thing. And it said, before any words leave your mouth, you should ask yourself, they should go past these three gatekeepers.
Okay. Okay.
The first one asks, is what's about to leave your mouth true?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's true, you can move on to the second thing. The second thing is it kind?
Yeah.
If it's kind, yes, it can leave your mouth. The third thing, and this is where a lot of people mess up, is it necessary? And that's where a lot of people get lost.
Because sometimes you're saying something just because you have a reaction that you need right now.
And then you say, well, it's real, so why not? And it's true. But just because something's true, so I'm going on record right now, just because something's true does not mean that it needs to be said.
Right.
Is it necessary? And I think that that is the grave difference between information and the overshare.
And necessary being, does this water someone's growth?
Does it serve a purpose?
Yeah.
A real purpose outside of your own ego and self-fulfillment. What is the purpose that this serves? You know,
if could it also be outside your own shame? Because now I'm wondering to myself, this is just becoming a relationship episode. Hey, Valentine's Day is on the way. Or I don't know. I'm actually going to put this up. All right. Anyways, delete all of that. So, like, for instance, is it oversharing if, in my opinion, I'm going to say yes, but I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. Is it oversharing if you express to your lover that you found someone attractive today? Because you want to seem like so honest and that this is your homie and y'all can just be free. And I feel like going to that necessary point is not necessary because you're dating another earthling. They cannot just be this empty vessel that you pour your every freaking thought, every thought bubble that pops in your head over. I wish I knew the amount of seconds in a 24-hour cycle, but whatever the hell that is, you can't just pour it into this person.
Yeah.
Like, they have imagination. Yeah. They have emotions. They have buried insecurities that you could just be digging at.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessary. I see why someone would want to do it, but like you said, we're earthlings. We already know that on a daily basis, we find people attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So to feel that your partner is blind to everybody else in the world but you is not realistic. You already know that that person finds other people attractive on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
To almost, the beauty of being in a relationship is that we can pretend that we're the only person that our guy or our gal has eyes for. Realistically, we know what the deal is, but
absolutely,
do we need it presented? I don't know. I feel like that kind of just aggravates the fantasy.
Yeah, keep the PowerPoint to yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let me ask you this. Let's just say a queen, a goddess, all of the above.
Yeah.
Asks you, Girdly, I did my celibacy. I have my king. We decided to knock the boots. That's what it's called.
I heard.
Yeah. But I'm also fantasizing about having sex with some other men. Is that wrong? Should I indulge? Should I be single? What's going on? What'd you think, son?
I think she needs to have a conversation with herself
about
realistically what she wants to do.
Yes, understand the motives.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And whatever you got to do, you should do it. If you feel like you having these terrible, intrusive daydreams about a threesome, you just should go have a threesome to even see if it's worth it.
You think so?
Yeah,
so
get sometimes, it out of your system. Yeah, I do.
I got you. A lot of times, what used to be the case for me, I ain't got to tell y'all, it's a no judgment freaking zone, okay? If you don't understand it's a no judgment zone, then I need you to press stop. And go back to whatever the hell that you were doing.
Bounce.
But for a while, the only way that I could orgasm, I think I told you this too, was by fantasizing about a threesome.
Isn't that crazy? I know, I went through that too.
I was like, why am I the typical freaking bisexual? This is what they all say. I'm so dirty, all of this freaking shit, blah, 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 blah. And I've wondered, okay, should I completely, this is a very interesting conversation because I've also spoken to God. And I'm like, how does this fit into your vision for me, God? Is this like too sexual? But if she's down and it's not even like, you know, we fed her any pills or we just kept her cup overflowing with adult beverages, like she's down. This is, everyone is consenting and this is amplifying the love with my man and our physical connection. Like, is it cool? But I don't feel like I've received an answer. So I don't know if that's God's back that's facing me.
Part of my back.
Right? He just put his headphones on, or she just put her headphones on and was like, yo, bye. I have no clue. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes I don't feel like every fantasy of ours needs to be fulfilled.
No, I don't think so. I don't.
Right. Because some things just play out well when I have full control. And the only way I have full control, where the reins never leave my grip, isn't in my imagination. Because who the hell? I'm not freaking Geppetto. There's so many different possibilities that can happen when someone else enters the realm, the scheme, the bedroom. You know, and it's like, okay, you could feel like you have the right girl, or you can, you know, bring your ass to Dominican Republic and do what it do and pay the price. But then I'm like, what the hell is going on here? All it is for a freaking fantasy that I could have just had in my damn head.
Yeah, it's true. And we also have to remember too, like, okay, rock with me on this really quickly.
Okay.
So like when you nut, right?
Yeah.
I am learning through experience, you know, that there are two different kind of nuts. There's like one that you just get because the feeling is just so good and it just naturally, it's biological. There is nothing psychologically that you're doing to make this happen. It just physically is happening to you.
Totally get that, because there have been a couple times where a guy, I decided in the middle of a makeout session with a man that I was not into him, but I was so confused because my body was reacting.
Right, 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 right.
In a way that said, you can have it all.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Mentally, I'm like, woo, we need a flurry of freaking red lights, stop signs, caution tape, do not enter. Right. It was insane, but continue.
Yeah, so there's that. There's definitely that. And then there's, as we already know, there's that mental one where you just mentally think of something and the power complex involved in it is what really trips you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's why so many people frequent like the threesome idea. The fact that you could captivate two people at one time to the point where they just need your body.
They're tantalized by your presence.
Yeah, the power is what really makes you go there to bust that nut, you know? So I don't know. I've been thinking a lot lately about like where these nuts are coming from. Is this a mental perversion? You know, am I just playing with the idea of power? Am I turned on by power right now? You know what I'm saying? Or is my body just physically enjoying this situation? So something
or
else.
Do you just want to indulge in, like, it's kind of like a museum where you have all these works of art in one space. And in this case, the work of art being another human body.
Truth.
You know what I mean? And it's crazy because when you think about all of our, what is it called? Orifice? Right? That's for all the holes that we have.
Interested. I don't know.
Ty, that's what the word is called? Orifice?
Pull up your fancy screen.
Let's look that up real quick. And I'll say this sentence
word
again.
Word of the day.
Oh, shoot. I didn't freaking tell this boy what's going on.
Hopefully I'm not saying it wrong.
Oh, this nigga gonna kill me. How do you pronounce it? Orifice. O-R-I-F-I-C-E. Yes. Okay. I was right. Orifice.
So it's a hole in your body?
Yeah.
Orifice.
Okay. So where am I going with this? Oh yeah. Or when you think about all the orifices that we have on our body, besides like, well, the eye isn't really, maybe the nostril, but your mouth, your vagina, your anal region often bring a lot of pleasure. And sometimes you just want to have it all at its peak.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, guys. Unfortunately, surprisingly, I don't have all the answers.
You don't. That's what I came here for. Sham.
I truly don't. So stay tuned. Maybe there'll be a no sex zone part three if I have a threesome. No, I would be. Because I feel like if I can't have a conversation with God about it, something might be off. Because I have conversations with God about a lot of things. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I really have no comment because I'm constantly bewildered by that. I'm like, is it social conditioning that's making me feel like God is more prudent than he really is? Maybe I can't come to him and talk to him about that. But maybe my intuition is telling, maybe the reason why there's a conflict in my intuition is because in my heart, with my third eye, I know that it's wrong. But I just don't know.
Right. Because like sexuality has been so taboo and criminalized over, my gosh, eras. Fuck a year over eras, especially when it comes to women. And it's like, you're not supposed to think like that. That's dirty. But on the flip side, we allow men to just roam free. Think about the Roman times. Motherfuckers bending each other over because that's how much they needed sexual fulfillment. Now, not to say just because someone else, you know, that whole like theory, our mothers would be like, okay, if everyone jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge as well?
True that.
And I feel like if everyone is being served joy in a sense, can it be wrong? Like, is anyone being hurt? There's not like a third girl or a second girl or a second dude is stolen from some happy marriage.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard, kid. It's really hard because sex and intimacy, because sex isn't really just about sex. Sex isn't just about sex for a lot of people. Sex is about power.
Yeah.
Sex is about love. Sex is about acceptance. So we can sit here and say, hey, it's all good. We're going into it with the best intentions. But you don't know how it can affect somebody later. You don't know where they are spiritually or emotionally. So it's, you know.
I'll tell you this. If I have a threesome, what I do know is it probably couldn't be planned. It would have to be in this moment. Everything is feeling right. Because my emotions are gonna change all the time at that threesome shit.
Well, then what if they change after the threesome shit? Don't you think that would drive you crazy?
I don't think it would drive me crazy. I think I would just accept the fact that it wasn't for me. But in the moment, I enjoyed myself, and now it's over. Like, what real sin did I commit? I don't remember this being in the Ten Commandments. I know somebody's like, God damn, Tracy. Yeah. But it's, I mean, you know, if we judging by the book.
Thou shalt not let fellow passengers ride a train on thee.
It ain't there. It ain't there, fam. It's like you go, you checked out a restaurant. You was like, okay, everyone was saying this is the hottest place in town. You sat down, you ordered everything, you ate everything. And then you decided, I don't want to come back. And that's what it is. You don't go and write a bad review on Yelp. You're just like, that is what it is. But the service was on point at the time. You're just not trying to go back. There's a little overload. Literally. These are all theories. Only theories until, you know, proven. Anyway, though, I feel like we covered a lot. I was I think I told you before, I didn't think this was going to be a very long conversation, but I definitely felt like it was needed. And in closing, what do you think are some key questions someone should ask themselves when deciding on a deadline? I don't even want to use that word. What do you think about that word, deadline?
It's not the best word.
Yeah, what can we say? I think just the closing of the chapter.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, what are some things, yeah, that someone should think about when they're deciding if they're ready to close this chapter of celibacy?
I would ask them, are they comfortable? And by comfortable, I mean, like, are you still horny? Are you howling at the moon? Is that why you want to get rid of this celibacy contract? If you could comfortably continue being celibate, then I think that it's okay to stop being celibate. Mm. But if you are like, I am over this, if it's killing you, then I think that you still need to keep going.
Yeah, totally. I think to stack onto that, ask yourself, am I being pressured by any outside sources to close this chapter prematurely?
Yeah. And if you are premature with it, just be easy on yourself, you know, like, and if you decide, you know what, I think that that was too early and I want to go back to being celibate, you do that. You know, it's not really your virginity, you know, it's not for real. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a third time where you lose your virginity. It's your life. It's your body, you know?
Yeah. Be gentle if you have to hit the reset button. Mm-hmm. But like you said, this body of ours is the one house that we will live in till the casket drops.
Mm-hmm. So really quickly, Tracy, did you feel like your sexuality changed at all?
My sexuality?
Like your sex drive.
My sex drive. I'm not as horny as I used to be. Exactly. Like, there was a point in time where I was rushing home to masturbate.
Right.
Like, that was truly, truly ridiculous. And I'll tell you why. It's because I was manifesting more lust in my life.
Yeah.
And I do have, like, those very, very lusty moments. Don't get me wrong. Like, come on. But, yeah, no, it's not that crazy because I'm just, for the most part, I'm just manifesting more love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's at times taking form in sex.
Right. But not all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. You realize how malleable love is and how much depth it has to it. And it makes lust feel pretty shallow.
And that's also why I'm not always like, oh, let's fuck, because there are so many different shades of love
right.
that me and my man engage in right. where I will be so fulfilled by a conversation we're having at dinner where that feels like a suitable sex replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes you have an amazing meal and you don't necessarily need dessert. And it right. doesn't mean that dessert sucks. You looked at everything on the freaking menu and it just wasn't doing it. It's just I'm so full,
right? And that's really that's why, in a nutshell, like the importance of celibacy, so you can get past the grand distraction of lust. Mm-hmm. Because lust will have you thinking that it is the grand pooba
right.
of the situation, that sex is everything. Sex is what you determine you know, the vitality and the health of your relationship. And it's not, it's such a small factor. And when you build up the discipline beyond celibacy, then mm-hmm. you start evaluating other things like conversation, quality time, the quality of the silence that you guys have with each other too. How comfortable is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that you're not paying attention to when you're being deafened by the loudness of lust. You can't, you know, you're not paying attention to the beauty of silence that you have with somebody else,
girl.
You know, just moments of stillness. Like, can you engage in that with somebody? And if you're constantly humping your chair, you're not going to care about stillness. You're not going to even have the discretion to recognize it for the beauty that it is.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that is, I think that's one of the key things. If I were to be single again, that I would look for in a partner. How comfortable am I in expressing myself without words,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
without body,
mm-hmm.
just simply, purely, authentically through energy?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yo, like that is a prerequisite for me.
100%.
Yeah, you do not get the key to my vagina without that.
No.
I mean, so I say right now. We said we might evolve.
We might.
But hopefully it's just evolving, not devolving. Two different things. You know my favorite line from Cole. The good news is, nigga, you came a long way.
The bad news is, nigga, you went the wrong way. I'm like, no, Cole.
Like, my number one goal in life is to not personify that line.
He killed me with that. He killed me.
Ugh. Sheesh.
Shout out to Cole, man.
Yeah, forever.
The and the two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sheesh.
Yeah, just indefinite shout outs to Cole for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel good about this, Berks. How you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah, I feel like this is really thorough. And I just wanted to make sure that we dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's
mm-hmm.
on the subject of celibacy. And there might be, you know, new little corners we realized we did not like dust off
mm-hmm.
and check out. And if that is the case, and you guys can always feel free to comment. Girdly, real quick, say how people can reach you. And I'll say this again in the outro, but since people are listening right now, where can they find you on social?
My Instagram name is Girdly.
You know what you got to do.
It. So, because that is at GUERDLEY. And my dance company, which is Queen Moves, is at Queen Moves 24. And you can find both of those accounts on Instagram.
Perfecto. I love you, Bergie.
I love you too, Face.
Sent to me from God. That is for damn sure. And like I don't know if I've said this out loud on Wax. I know I've definitely told you a couple of times, but I know you're one of my soulmates that we will never have a divorce because we don't want each other.
No, it
is. I don't want that girl. It's the biggest blessing. I'm like, this woman, whenever I describe you, I'm like, Girdly is the black man's dream.
But not mine.
Not necessarily this black woman's. But she is so gorgeous, so sexy, so everything. The quintessential fucking wife to me, but not for me. And I'm so happy for that because it leaves no room for breakups. You understand?
None in our future, girl.
So thank you for this conversation,
no
girl.
No problem. And thank you for your mutuality. Thank yeah. you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Always. Boom, bruh. Don't anyone dare try and tell me that I only shoot for surface, yo, because I do my best to get thorough and to get deep, deep in these guts. I don't know. I just felt tempted by it, so I grabbed it. Yo, that was wild and appropriate. But I feel like all is forgiven. Anyways,
So I'm not anticipating a no sex zone part three. But again, I created something that I know will help anyone listening who's thinking about detouring from DICK for a while or who's already on the path. Go to shesbeautyandthebeast.com/celibacycontract and download my workbook, No Sex Zone, The Dope Woman's GPS for Navigating Celibacy. It will be your companion, your compass, your cheerleader throughout this journey of yours. I really hope you enjoy it because I felt certainly fulfilled while creating it. Right. Anyways, guys, quick end of episode housekeeping. If you like this episode, please do me a favor and leave a rating plus review in iTunes because that will propel us forward with new opportunities for growth. Also, I love when you guys hit me on social media. So again, you can always find me at ITSTRACYG, aka It's Tracy G. Everywhere. I am so appreciative of you. I am so appreciative of Girdly, of God, of squats, of the internet, of fruit infused water. And I want you to always remember to keep the soul lit. Love you. You best believe it. Talk to y'all later. She's beauty and the beast.